morning we're going to discuss the power of fasting and prayer as the spiritual power, blessing, and ammunition that our Lord has given to us to destroy the strongholds of evil and usher in a great spiritual renewal. We're going to begin open with the book of Matthew, chapter 17. I'm going to give you time to find it if you can't find it real quick or you don't have your Bible with you. I'll have it here on the PowerPoint. And as you're looking, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we take time and look at fasting from your word, that you'll use it to encourage us and to strengthen us. And as we take into considering what fasting is and as we make it a part of our faith experience, I pray that you'll use it to strengthen us and to make us and mold us into the men and women that you'd have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in Matthew 17, beginning with verse 14, it says, "And when they came to the crowd, a man came to him," this is speaking of Jesus, "kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, I have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and grievously vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be moved. And nothing shall be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out except for by prayer and fasting.'" Now last week we were talking about a part of our discipleship and the first fruits, and this message and this idea, this practice of our faith and of Christianity is something that's often, if not necessarily ignored, just not looked at, just not spoken about, not talked about. And that is the idea of fasting. You know, in today's physical fitness world, you'll hear them say, "Oh yeah, if you want to really lose weight fast, you go on a fast. You don't eat anything but you drink." You know, sometimes you hear, even in common conversation, that idea coming up that if you fast, you can lose weight real quick, or you can drop weight real quick. And that's not talking about that. This is actually talking about stopping and taking time and prayer. The idea of fasting and during the times that the Bible was written in, making a meal was a little bit more involved than today. Today we can go into our kitchens and we can turn the stove on and we can throw a pot on. We can put noodles in one pot and we can pull the skillet out and brown hamburger and throw a little spaghetti sauce out of a can or a jar into that there. And within a few minutes, a meal's made. 30, 40 minutes, however long it takes. You can tell that I've made a lot of spaghetti here in recent days. But, within a few moments, you can have a meal. During the time the Bible was written, they would have to go out and they would have to get the wood, they'd have to build the fire, they'd have to go through all of the things we don't have to do anymore. you know, but then they made those meals something to be remembered, something that they, you know, they spent a lot of time around. It wasn't like going to work and we carry our lunchbox with us or we run into McDonald's during the lunch break to grab a quick meal. They made their meals something to be to enjoy, to be around. You know, they took a lot of time. And the idea during this time, during when the Bible was being written, was that rather than spending that time doing all these things, you would pull yourself away from the kids and you'd pull yourself away from the family. And instead of all the hustle and bustle that was involved, you stopped and focused on God. You stopped and you seriously prayed. You seriously meditated on Scripture, you know. And you were seeking God for one of many things. And through the course of this week and next, we're going to look at all of this a little bit more in depth. But it was simply stopping and letting God and yourself have a time to be together. You know, we have Valentine's coming up on February the 14th, you know, and, you know, women are hoping that their husbands are planning something big, and husbands are thinking to themselves, oh, what am I going to do this year? You know, for those who are single, you're thinking, okay, who can I get cards for? Who can, from your secret admirer? Anyways, you know, the girls are thinking to themselves, well, maybe if I cook some chocolate chip cookies, maybe I can get Karen to help me make these because they're always so good. And I can give this to a couple boys and they're going to really like me. You know, we think about these things. Well, when we're taking time and fasting, we're taking time apart. We have planned to spend time with God. We have planned to spend time in building that relationship. The idea behind Valentine's Day is so we can build the relationships with our spouses, hopefully with someone who would like to date us or become our spouse eventually, whatever the case may be. But fasting brings us into a closer and tighter relationship with our God, the God of Jesus. And in doing this, taking time to do this, we're not saying to God, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and because I gave up this meal or I gave up these meals, you've got to give me these things or do this for me. First and foremost, fasting is so we can build our relationship with the Father. And then this passage of Scripture, as we've looked at it, we see that prayer and fasting is given to us for when we're going into spiritual battle. This is what was taking place here. Jesus was in spiritual battle. The disciples couldn't understand the spiritual battle that was going on. Paul talks about it. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're going to go back to the slides. The important thing for us to begin to realize about fasting is fasting or prayer and prayer, both ways, does not change God. That prayer and that fasting actually changes us. It changes our attitudes. It changes our outlook. It changes our relationship with God spiritually. God is always the same. He never changes. But we have the ability to change. We have the ability to become closer. You know, when Sandy and I first got to know about each other, we were corresponding online. We were quite far apart. But then, that fateful day happened when we actually met and went out. And all of a sudden, we were drawn closer. And then finally we decided, well, I think I'd like to marry you. She thought, oh, well, I would like to marry you. And eventually we got to the point where we were being married. Our relationship grew closer and closer. And in fasting, this is what happens to us. We changed toward each other. You know, initially it was, wow, she's a cute blonde. I think I'd like to get to know her. You know, based on the little picture about like this, you know, no bigger than the Facebook book picture. You know, but God used that and grew us closer and closer to each other. Prayer and fasting doesn't change who we are any more than our dating, our getting to know each other, changed either one of us. Prayer and fasting changes our relationship with God in that we are becoming closer and closer. We are becoming more and more holy, more and more righteous as we are spending that time away from all of the things in the world, all of the things that fill and clutter our hearts and clutter our minds. We're separating ourselves from that and filling our hearts and our minds, our thoughts, with our attention and our focus on the Father. We're not twisting God's arm to get Him to do our bidding. You know, oftentimes if you actually go out and buy a book from the Christian bookstore on fasting, a lot of the authors have that idea, is that we can twist God's arm by fasting and prayer. But that's not what's found in the Word of God. We're not here to get God to do what we want. You know, oftentimes we talk about prayer, you know. We take time, we stop, and if we want to be ultra spiritual, we're going to get on our knees. We're going to say, okay, Father, it's me again. I just wanted you to know I would really like a different job because there's something I know and I would like to do that's so much better. I want you to do that for me. I want you to find that for me. And then my car, well, Father, it's almost 10 years old. Well, I said mine's closer to 16. But anyways, I would like a newer car. You know, can you work this out for me when I go to see the salesman? Maybe you can get him to buckle under. Instead of paying $48,000 for the car, I can get it for $28,000. But you know, I'm just relying on you. I'm relying on you, God. Take care of this for me. And you know, and my TV, it's only a 47-inch screen. You know, it's not even flat. I really could use one of those new 60-inch plasma flat screens. And the hardware to mount it on the wall, God. You say, well, that doesn't sound like my prayer. I pray for something different. Well, you know, we all pray for something different. But how often have we stopped and said, okay, I'm focusing on you today, God. I want my mind, I want my heart, I want my thoughts to be just totally and completely focused on you. And I want us to have communion. I want us to have relationship. I want us to be closer together. I want to be more like your son Jesus, because we're called to be disciples. But you know, my day-to-day activities, that rather than becoming more disciple-like, I find myself becoming more unlike Christ than I find myself being Christ. And this is the idea behind what takes place as we're taking time to fast. It's not, once again, it's simply not a thing where we're giving up a meal and going about our daily activities. It's about stopping everything that's going on around us, the things that we become involved in, and taking time to focus on our relationship with the Father. Because as we begin to focus on that relationship, we begin to find out what it is God is looking for in our lives and what God is looking for us to do. Fasting and prayer combined removes the hindrances from our peace. You know, one of the things as a pastor you hear people talk about often is how they wish they could have peace. You know, they see so-and-so at church, and they seem so peaceful. You know, they just have that air of peace about them. And we think to ourselves, if I had that kind of peace, I could be a better Christian. If I had that in my life, I could be a better Christian. And fasting and prayer removes the things that hinder that peace or even power that's available to us. You know, Elijah, going back to 1 Kings, he was being told by God, okay, I want you to go to talk with King Ahab and Jezebel. You know, right there, all of a sudden Elijah's thinking to himself, oh, God, is that really something you want me to do? You know, they have it in for me. You know, she's got a price on my head. I don't know if I really want to go through this. Well, Elijah, I want you to go to speak with Ahab and Jezebel, and I want you to declare my word. I want you to declare who I am. Yeah, but God, you know, last time you had me go and talk to him, I told him it wasn't going to rain. You know, and this is 2 years ago, and we haven't had rain. We're about, as far as a country, as far as a nation, we are about out of water. The crops have failed. The animals are dying. I mean, it's a horrible time here, and they blame me for it. They want me dead. Well, I want you to go and I want you to declare who I am. So Elijah stops and he takes time and prayer and fasting before approaching Ahab and Jezebel and the 850 priests of Baal and Ashtaroth. And he challenges them after this fasting and prayer, becoming so close to God, so in tune with God that his fear was taken away from him, that he had the assurance of knowing that he was serving the one true God. Because you think about it. If you know somebody's going to physically harm you, you kind of ignore or avoid those places where that person is. But Elijah challenges the priests, challenges Ahab, challenges Jezebel, to see whose God is real, whose God is true. They all gather together and they build their altars. And Elijah says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first. So they think, oh, all right, well, that's great. So they start calling out to Baal and the Ashtaroth. You know, come strike this offering and cause it to burn up. That was the challenge. I forgot to tell you that. The challenge was for their God to burn up the offering, or once it was their turn was over, Elijah would call on God and he would burn up the offering. And so he stands back and he gives them the opportunity, you know, and they start praying and they start calling out to their false gods. You know, come about noontime, they start getting a little bit more concerned. Well, why hasn't our gods heard us? Where are you, Baal? You know, so the Bible tells us they even go so far as to start cutting themselves and damaging themselves. You know, calling out for their gods to come consume this sacrifice. You know, finally, Elijah said, well, I'll tell you what, guys. I think he's on vacation. Maybe he's just away from the telephone. Well, that would be today's Baal. But anyways, finally says, you know, this is enough. Let me pray to my God. But before I do, tell you what, bring those barrels of water that we have over yonder. Let's pour it over the sacrifice that I have here. Now,
For those who enjoy a bonfire, what's the one thing you have to have to have a successful bonfire? Dry wood. You know, so they pour this water over the top of the sacrifice. You know, Elijah, he looks at that thing and he says, you know, bring another barrel of water. Let's get this sacrifice good and soaked. And he bows on his knees and he prays, God of heaven, the one true God of Israel, I pray that you'll just send a fire down to consume this offering and to show these people who the one true God is. You know what happens? He gets up a lot easier than I do. No sooner has he finished his prayer than fire from heaven comes down and consumes the offering. But it doesn't go so far as just consume the offering. It consumes even the stones that make up the altar to show God's power to the children of Israel. Because of Elijah's ability because of Elijah humbling himself in prayer and in fasting, God was able to do a great work in Israel, and all of the children of Israel realized what happened. And they realized who the one true God was. Man, talk about a spiritual revival, a spiritual renewing. How many, you know, you say, well, yeah, I guess if I wanted a bonfire and God sent that kind of a fire, I would get really spiritually energized. And we're not talking about just a bonfire. We're talking about God showing His power in our hearts and in our lives. Now, here's the commercial for the adult Sunday school class. This morning, we were talking about briefly the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, everyone heard the message of Peter that says God's Holy Spirit pricked their hearts of their sin. That message was so abundantly and well received by the people that were in Israel at this time because they had been in prayer and fasting before the gift of Holy Spirit came down in the shape of cloven tongues of fire. And because of that outpouring of God's Spirit, 3,000 people accepted the gift of salvation, repented of their sins, and was baptized for the remission of their church, for the removal of their sin, and they were added to the church that day. Because they were willing to fast and pray, God moved in the hearts and lives of people around them. We don't talk about fasting anywhere near as much as we should, I think. Because as we look at the life of Elijah, we see that it effectively brought about God's protection from harm, but not only protection from harm, but also the victory over the enemy. And we have this available to us as well as we begin to include fasting as part of our Christian life, a part of our Christian walk, as part of our discipleship. We will have the same type of victory in our lives. We can have that same type of victory. Now, Elijah, in what we were looking at from 1 Kings, he was scared to death. He felt weak. He felt vulnerable. But because of that prayer and fasting, God gave him the strength
and the ability to stand up in spite of fear and proclaim who the one true God is to all of Israel. And a great spiritual revival took place in Israel. It says that by the end of that day, every one of the priests of Baal and Ashtaroth and all the other gods of Israel at that time, every one of those priests were dead. Elijah's life revolves around God doing great and mighty things. It helps us as we take time to fast. It helps us to humble ourselves and lift up others so that we can vanquish tensions from our relationships. The problem with many relationships is it's all about me. Now, I haven't heard the song in a long while, and I'm probably remembering it completely wrong, but there was a country song that went something about, I want to talk about me, I want to talk about I want to talk about number one, oh my, or something of that effect. And basically it was the guy saying, I'm tired of hearing the woman going, yeah, all the time. I just want to talk about me. And in our conversations with people, or for that matter, our attitudes about ourselves, is it all about me? Is that where our focus, is that where our attention is supposed to be? Is it supposed to be on me? No, it's supposed to be on me, right? Or you, or however you want to. I couldn't come up with a way to do that one smoothly. So anyways, we all get the idea. You know. But it's not about me. It's not about what I want, what I think, where I'm going. It's about God. That's the reason where we come to church on Sundays is, or it should be anyways, is not to see what the preacher's wife wore. Oh my goodness, did you see what she wore? Oh my goodness, I wouldn't have been caught dead in that. Well, I wouldn't because I'm not a woman. But anyways, now everybody's looking at Sandy. Isn't that sweet, sweetheart? you know, it's not about what other people are wearing. It's not about what other cars people are driving. It's not about whether or not we made a business contact. When we come to church, this is the time that we're supposed to take our attention off of ourselves for just a few hours and focus our attention on God. In fasting and in prayer, and the two are always combined, it's not one of these things, well, you pray or fast. When you're fasting, it's for prayer or for a time of prayer. It's taking that attention off of ourselves and putting it on God. It's a time for us to take our attention off of all the things that we think are wrong in our lives and put our attention on God. There's times that we feel that we need protection. Elijah did. We're to stop. We need to stop and put our attention and our affections on God. We're coming very, very close to the time of great tribulation. We'll probably see it in our lifetimes. But think about this. If you have someone come up with a gun and they were to put that gun to your forehead and say, I hear you're a Christian. How much of a Christian are you? You know, we pretty much get the idea, well, if I tell this fellow that I'm a Christian, he's going to blow my brains out. You know, there's even a YouTube video on this. How many of us would be willing to say, yes, I have placed my faith and trust in the one true God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood has washed away my sin, who's given me new life, new hope and a new place in the kingdom of God when it's established? Yes, I'm a Christian. Or would we turn into a mass of quivering jello? Say, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. Elijah, he was afraid. Scared snotless. I like that word. Preachers aren't supposed to say that, right? Anyways, he was scared to death. But after fasting and prayer, he had the strength, he had the fortitude to stand up to Ahab, to Jezebel, and to all of those priests of those false gods. It took away his fear. It took away his apprehension. Because he knew that when he approached them, that he wasn't going to die in the courtroom of that castle or throne room or whatever they had back then. God was going to protect him. Daniel made it a matter of fasting and prayer. And when he refused to follow the rule of the land, he was thrown into a den of lions. And he slept on one and propped his feet on the other. At least so the story goes when you're Sunday school, right? Those lions should have eaten him. But because of his trust, his faith, and his constant habit of fasting and prayer, God protected him. I bet he was scared to death as they were chucking him in that lion's den. Because it wasn't like they were just putting him out into arena like we hear about with the first century Christians. They dropped him in a hole. And the lions were in that hole. Normally there's only one way out. And that was to go back through the top. But God watched out for Daniel because of his faithfulness and fasting and prayer. Because he had already sought God's strength, God's power, and God's ability to stand up in spite of the promise or threat of death. Now we're going to stop the message right here because that hardly has touched even the surface of it. But this morning, my challenge is to you. Do you really want God's power and God's strength in your life? Take Him up on the challenge. Start out by just doing one meal a day. Saying, okay, I'm going to fast this one meal. I'm going to get away from my kids. I hear a few women say, hey, that's a great idea. I'm going to fast now. Get away from the kids. Get away from the radio, the computer, the television. And begin spending that meal in prayer. Asking God for forgiveness of anything that is between you to begin with. Then ask Him to give you the knowledge that He's there and that His strength is there and available and powerful and available to you. Ask Him to focus your mind on who He is and on His righteousness and on His holiness. And begin to see the change that will take place in your life as you give God that time in fasting and in prayer. I believe that you'll find out that it's such a strength-giving thing, such a power-giving thing, that you'll find that, well, I don't want to give just one meal. I want to do a breakfast and lunch or a lunch and a supper. And I'm going to totally focus my attention, my love, my adoration, and my worship on God. And see the change that He will make in your life. See the change that He'll make in the lives around you. The attitudes of the people that you perhaps work with, that you live with, the people that you run into in the community or wherever it is that you run into folks and that you spend time with people. The change will be absolutely phenomenal. We're going to continue this message next week. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of not only these Old Testament folks, but the New Testament folks as well. The fact that when we see Jesus in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, when he's tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread, because his attention was totally focused on you. His desire was totally focused on you. He was able to tell Satan, get thee behind me. When he was tempted to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus was able to say, get thee behind me. When he told him that he could keep him from ever having to die on the cross, and all the tortures and torments that would go along with that, if he would simply bow down and worship him, that he would be given all of the kingdoms of the world. Jesus says, don't tempt me. Get thee behind me. Lord, I pray that we will, as a people, begin to take the challenge in discipleship to spend some time fasting and in prayer, focusing our attention on you, that we might see not only great things done in our lives, but great things done in this church and in this community and the communities that surround us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.